Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
Please stand for the reading of the scripture lesson from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow: O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I ask the Lord for him. This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Who here thinks that they have a normal family? Anybody want to raise a hand? Doesn't look like any takers. Very good, because I was going to say, if you think you have a normal family, you're wrong. We all have some kind of dysfunction in our family. Whether it's an uncle that we don't want anybody to know we're really related to, or the sibling that we wonder how in the world we actually are related to, or maybe it's even just a family member that you never, ever see. We all have some level of dysfunction in our families. And the same is true of families in the Bible. The people that we read about in Scripture are not the perfect families, the perfect people. They have their struggles. They have their family dysfunctions just like we do. And aren't you so glad that they do? Aren't you glad that God doesn't just go out and pick the people who are perfect, who have everything all together, never do anything wrong? God picks the people with dysfunctional families. God picks the people with struggles and flaws. And when we read about them, they can remind us of ourselves. And we can identify with them because they are imperfect people, just as we are imperfect people. And we can see when God chooses them, that God chooses them in spite of their imperfections. God chooses them in spite of their dysfunction. God chooses them in spite of their struggles and flaws. If God only picked the perfect people, we would wonder where in the world we ever would fit into that, because there's no way we could ever be somebody that God would pick. But instead, we read about people just like us with struggles and things that we can understand and can maybe see, well, if God can use somebody like this, then God can use me. As we read about Hannah in our scripture today, when you take a look at some of the scripture around what we read, we can see that Hannah had a very dysfunctional family. Hannah was married to Elkanah, and if it was just that, we would think this isn't that bad of a story. But Hannah was barren. For some reason, she was unable to conceive a child. And at that time, if a woman was unable to have a child, she was considered cursed. It was her fault that she couldn't have a child. She must have done something wrong for God to not bless her with a child. It was her fault. And so society is telling Hannah that she is worthless. And then add it into this, Hannah is not Elkanah's only wife. He was also married to another woman, to Peninnah. And Peninnah was able to have children and had several. And instead of her just being happy that she was able to have children, she had to make sure that Hannah knew that she had had children and Hannah wasn't able to, and rub that into her face. Sounds like a pretty dysfunctional family right there to me. And while we might not have that level of dysfunction in our families, we can understand some of the struggles that Hannah was going through. Her deepest desire was going unfulfilled. Her deepest desire was to have a child. And instead, she had to hear how it was all her fault and she had done something wrong and she was cursed. And that pain went with Hannah everywhere she went. She allowed others' opinions of her to influence what she felt. She believed what society was telling her, that it was her fault. We can understand the pain of a deepest desire going unfulfilled, of society telling us something and us knowing that we're never going to match society's view of what we should be or do. Through everything that Hannah went through, through all of her pain, through her family dysfunction, Hannah did manage to hold on to her faith. We are told that every year this little family would travel to Jerusalem to observe the requirements that all Jewish people were to do, to go to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices to God. And so this whole family went. Hannah went with to worship God. I don't know, but I think it would have been pretty easy for Hannah to say, you know what, I'm going to stay home. I'm done with this worshiping God. I'm cursed. I'm going to stay home. But she didn't. She kept her faith. Hannah could have chosen many ways to try and escape the pain in her life. And yet she didn't. She was accused of being drunk. She could have very easily turned to alcohol to numb her pain. She didn't. She turned to prayer. Hannah held on to her faith, even in her deep anguish. She held on to her faith. She knew that her hope could not come from her husband. As much as he might have loved her, her hope could not come from him. Her hope could not come from society's expectations on her. She wasn't able to meet them anyway. What hope could they give her? Hannah knew that only one person could give her the hope that she needed in the midst of her pain, and that was God. And so Hannah held on to her faith and poured out everything to God in prayer. We can understand Hannah's pain. Even if we don't have the same deepest desire that she did, we can understand that pain, if it's to struggle with wanting a child and dealing with infertility, or maybe it's to pray for somebody's salvation and not have any idea if they will ever turn to God. Or maybe our deepest desire is to be reunited with somebody we are estranged from, but not have any idea where they are. We all have these deep desires, and they sometimes go unfulfilled for long periods of time where we struggle with them and struggle with what to do. And we find that we can't hold on to society's expectations of what will happen to give us hope, because that might not happen. And those around us might not be able to give us the hope to hold on to that we need. And so the only person that we can hold on to is God, who understands our deepest desires, who understands the pain that we feel, and who can give us the hope that we need to hold on to. Hannah held on to her faith, but I have to imagine that it was a struggle, because she still had that pain of unfulfilled prayer, of her deepest desire not being met. And so she still, I would imagine, struggled with holding on to that hope in God and praying to Him. And so Hannah did pray to God. And she poured out her heart to God. She was so focused on that prayer with God that she didn't realize that she was moving her mouth and praying to God and not saying a single word out loud. She didn't care who might be around her. She didn't care what she looked like. She only knew that she had deep anguish, and she needed to go to God in prayer. And in her deep anguish, Hannah made a vow. She told God, "If only, Lord, I would have a son, I would give him back to you." She prayed out of her deep anguish, and she told God everything. And she made a promise in that prayer. How often do we go to God in our deep anguish, in our pain, and pour everything out to Him? Not just a nice, polite little prayer, "Lord, I really don't like this. Please do something to change it." But pouring out everything that we are feeling, our insecurities, our pain, our struggle, pouring them out to God, not caring who might be around us, who might see us, what we might look like, but pouring our hearts out to God, being honest to God with our pain, with what we are struggling with. I have to believe that God likes those times when we get raw and honest in our prayers to Him. And we get rid of the polite veneer that we try and pray and make our prayers pretty. And when we get raw and honest and tell God, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. I don't know what to do. God hears us when we do that. God hears the promises we make in our prayers. And He does answer our prayers. I have to imagine that this was not the first time that Hannah had gone to God and prayed, Lord, I want a child. But this was the time that her prayer was finally answered. God doesn't give us a time frame for when He's going to answer our prayers. As much as we would really appreciate that, Lord, I'm praying for this, I'm struggling with this, give me a time frame when it's going to happen. God doesn't do that. But God does answer our prayers. Hannah's prayer was answered, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. And in Hannah's prayer, she offered her son back to God. And Hannah would go on to dedicate her son to God, and he would grow up in the temple, worshiping God every day and learning about the God that his mother had faith in, about the God that his mother had dedicated him to. Because Hannah's prayer was not just a give me my deepest desire, Lord, but a if you do, Lord, he belongs to you and not just me. The things that are our deepest desires tend to be some of the things that we try and cling on to the tightest. If we just got something that we have been wanting for a long time, we want to hold on to it, to keep it close to us, to maybe show others by our care of it how much it means to us. Would have been super easy for Hannah's prayer to be, Lord, if you would only give me a child, I won't ask for anything else ever again. Anybody ever said some of those prayers? Lord, if you give me what I want, I won't ask for anything else ever again. But Hannah prayed, Lord, if you give me what I want, I will give it back to you. Hannah knew that her child would not truly be just her child, but it would also belong to God. And so she dedicated him to the Lord. That faith that Hannah had was so incredible. She had flaws. She struggled. And yet, she believed that God would grant her the impossible. That she, who was barren, would have a child. And then she took that child and said, Lord, this child is yours. You have given him to me to care for a short time, and now here he is.